the family of God this morning. Bless them, keep them, use them. Let your word speak to their lives today. Let it bring encouragement and hope to each and every one. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said amen. So this will be the last week I'm going to talk about on this series of taking inventory. And I've had just such a great time with it. And courage as well. This Thursday night, Shandy, our children's pastor, will be sharing the word of God. She's going to have even a better message than she had planned on, because on her way to church this morning, she got in an accident and totaled out her car. She's okay. In fact, she's next door taking care of our kids right now. Come on, that's awesome right there. And so come on out on Thursday night. She's going to be a blessing. She's a blessing to the house of God, to the whole region. She just gives her life, and we so appreciate and thank God for her. Week one in taking inventory, I talked about, are we living in the last days? Because sometimes people, when they hear things that maybe we're living in the last days, they make a decision that they're going to live different. But the truth of the matter is, you and I, we are living in our last days. I had a birthday a couple weeks ago. It reminds me every year, I am living. I'm not getting younger. I am moving on closer towards that time when I will be face to face with Jesus. Week two, I talked about taking inventory of our stress in our life. Are we stressed out? Are you just living a stressed out life? I talk to people, how you doing? Oh, I'm just so stressed. And God wants to help you with that. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 10, if your axe is dull, sharpen it, because if you don't, you exert more strength. That's why it's important for you to take in even an event like tonight and next week. Say, well, that's going to take me time. It takes time to stop and sharpen your blade. But if you know anything about cutting wood or anything like that, if you don't stop to sharpen the blade, it's just going to take you more time anyways. Week three, I talked about God's will for our lives. A lot of people are making plans to do things, but is God in it? Is he in the midst of it? Instead of us always asking God to bless our plans, how about if we ask him to put us in his plan? Week four, I talked about taking inventory concerning our family and used a couple Old Testament scriptures, Ecclesiastes and Genesis 31, where Ecclesiastes says there's a time to gather and a time to scatter stones. And I used the Old Testament scripture in Genesis 31 where Laban and Jacob had a disagreement, and instead of casting stones, they decided to gather stones. And I want to just say to a family here today that maybe you're in a place in your life where you're just used to throwing stones at one another. How about pausing, sharpening your blade, and gathering some things in your life so you're not scattering them? And then week five, I talked about, again, inventory of our family concerning our children. And not just for our natural sons and daughters, but also our spiritual sons and daughters, because we're living in a society that many people don't care anything about our children. And the opposite is so true. We need to pay attention to the children. That's why the investment that we have made next door is enormous. For that small little slice, it will have influence on the children on a regular basis. Listen, we can't completely change your children's life in an hour and 20 minutes once a week. But we want to have influence on them. We want to have influence on you as well, that you will raise, as David prayed this prayer in Psalm 144, let our sons and their youth be as grown-up plants and our daughters as corner pillars fashioned as for a palace. Because our sons not only need to be beyond their years, but also beyond their peers. And can I just stop here one moment? I got to brag on two young men that are in the house this morning, and that would be Grayson Huntington and my grandson, Gabriel McDonald. I want you both to stand up. I wanted to tell you something about them. They play on a football team together, Elba Oakfield. They are in a league that they didn't expect to go. Do you know they went all the way to the end last night, and they missed winning the championship by 2 points? But I want you to know right here, here's two champion young men. Amen. Thank you, boys. If I could have gone last night after that game, and I'm telling you, it was a blizzard out. I was frozen stiff. I would have bought them couple great trophies, and I might yet. I don't know. But our daughters as corner pillars, fashioned for a palace. And what he was saying here, that our daughters need to feel out of place in any cheap place. They shouldn't feel comfortable when some guy that they didn't know or never seen before walks up and say, "Man, you are fine, girl." They should turn around and give him eyes that would cut him to pieces. You want to know why? Because their dad and their boppy have heard that from them 1,000 times before. And not use them as some piece of instrument or something. Amen. I got to keep on going. Last week, I talked about taking inventory of our atmosphere. When we inventory our life, what kind of atmosphere are you exposing your life to? Do you live in one that invites the Holy Spirit into your life? Or do you live in an atmosphere that opens the door for demonic invasions of every kind? And you have to really be cautious of that and unplug yourself if you're in that negative atmosphere. You have to know that even if you're in a storm, God will give you the wherewithal, the flourish. And that in your atmosphere, you can't forsake a time and a place for prayer and worship, and you can't forsake the place of power. The house of God, the Bible says in Hebrews 10 and 25, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some, but even more as the day approaches, you should get together more. The Bible says in Matthew 18, 20, that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them, and he answers prayer. There is power in the house of God when the people of God come together expecting God to do something like no other place. You can sit in front of the TV, in front of the radio, you can have all those things, but you will never, it'll never match up to the place of the house of God, because it is a place of power. Amen. We had some power already here this morning. Power of God is demonstrated in his house. And today I want to talk to you about taking inventory of your stewardship. If you lived in a world, which you do, that you make up to $33,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of the wealthiest people on the planet. Come on, for some of you, just turn to somebody, throw your shoulders back. You didn't know you were sit next to the wealthiest 1% of the planet. If you earn up to $25,000 a year, you're in the top 10%. And if you make up to $11,000 a year, you're in the top 13% of the wealthiest people on the terra firma called planet Earth. Hello. Amen. You are in the wealthiest people on the planet Earth. And that's why I wanted to bring this, because as I read this next scripture to you, it's an epistle by the Apostle Paul to Timothy, a new pastor. And he's given him some instructions as he's pastoring his church. And he tells him in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, he says, "Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything," look at it, "for our enjoyment." Everything that God gives you, you and I, is for our enjoyment. But he says, don't put your hope in it, because your hope and wealth makes an uncertain life. And then he goes on again. He says, "Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share." And I want to hone in on that word there, willing, today. Because you don't have to, you get to. You don't have to, you get to. "In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." And Paul says in Philippians 2:13, he says, that God is working in you to make you willing and able to obey him. I don't know if I'm the only one here that God's ever kind of got me in a place where my arm was behind my back. And he says, "Are you willing yet?" And I'm going, "Yes, Lord, now I'm willing." But it's a real privilege to participate in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read the story in this Old Testament scripture that I want to point you to now in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, where David was called by the Lord to build a house for God. Before that time, they were just meeting outside, meeting wherever in a tent. And God calls him to do this. And here's, I love how he puts this together in verse 3. He says, moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. Do you know why? Because God will never call you to go beyond what he won't call his leaders and his elders to do first. And David goes on to say in verse 4, 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlays the walls of the houses, gold for things of gold, the silver for things of silver, and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord. He says, I'm giving all this. And then he just makes this declaration. Who is there? Who else is willing today to give themselves to the Lord? And what I'm going to read to you today, that after they were done, some historian, and I tried to put this together. I tried to be honest with you, my calculators would not go as high as what this took. That was kind of shocked, but historians say that the present value of what they gave them in today's terms would be worth $21 billion. Now that would be an offering. And the leaders in verse 6 of the, look at this. Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. And I'm glad we're in a house where all the leaders in this house, we're on one page that we give to the work of the Lord. And you know why? You want to know why? Because when we give, then God blesses. If we were in a church where the leaders, myself and the elders, did not give, the house would not flourish. It would not be blessed at all. Because he always calls the leaders to set the standard first. They gave for the work of the house of God. 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord and to the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. And the people rejoiced, for they had, there it is again, offered willingly. Because with a loyal heart, they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also greatly rejoiced. And then we look at verse 17, and he says, and I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. And as for me and the uprightness of my heart, I have, there it is again, willingly offered all these things. And now with joy, I've seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to him. And that is the spirit that when we take inventory of our lives, not that we have to, but to be willing, we get to participate in the work of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8:12, he says again, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. Contrary is true. If you're not willing, the gift is not acceptable. In fact, I want to say this morning, don't ever give because you feel compelled or like you feel coerced. Don't ever do that. That's never our intention. Our intention is to share with you what the Word of God says and to encourage you to participate in that covenant relationship with the Lord. Because sometimes we need to know why. Why are we doing this? Why do we do this? It's not that we have to. It's that we get to. So I want to give you some whys. Number one is obedience. When we grow in the Lord and we know and learn the principles that are in the Word of God, we grow and we want to know the things to do that pleases God. And we make a decision the day we give our lives to Jesus that we are going to obey him. For some, we think that just giving our heart to the Lord, it's just a one-time thing and we just go on to live the way we've always lived. But if he comes in your heart, if Jesus moves into your life, you can't stay the same. If there is an authentic experience with a Savior, your life will change. And you will hunger to want to do everything he's called and asked you to do. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. And when he asks us, he says, all I want is that little piece. You could have everything else, but I want that peace. And that doesn't change. Some people say, well, that's in the Old Testament, like the Old Testament isn't a part of the Bible. Matthew 23, God says, Jesus says, I've come not to do away with the law, I've come to fulfill the law. He wants to do with you the things that you can't do in your own strength. We do it because being a giver gives us great joy. And I love the way I feel when I give. I don't know about you, but when I give and when I sow the things, I get excited. Because when I sow into the work of the Lord, I know God's word is going to come away in my life. Acts 20, 35, he quotes the verse that Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I saw this. I just got to talk about my grandkids again. A few weeks ago, they had Grandparents Day at Oakfield School. They all go to Oakfield. And a year ago when we went, I went to my little Ryan's Grandparents Day. And when he was all over with it and we were going back to class, he just broke down and started crying. Now, let me tell you something. I can handle all the other kids crying. When Ryan, little Ryan cries, oh my gosh, it's like a hot iron on my heart. I got down on my knee. I go, honey, what's wrong? He says, I don't want you to leave me. Oh. So I remembered that. This year, I called their mothers. I said, I want to take them all out of school after that. I don't want to go through that again. The great daughter-in-laws that I have, not a problem. So after that, we come walking out of the school with five proud, happy grandchildren to be with their Nani and Bappy. And what do? We bless them. We take and buy them donuts. Hallelujah. And then we do something that we've done since they were little. We said, we're going to take you and you can buy a toy wherever you want. And as Jamin would say, I want to go to Target. Not Target, Target. So we go there and we're in the store. And out of all of them, Gabriel says, Bappy, I don't need nothing. I got everything I need. Let's just let the rest of them have something. I'm going to tell you something. That was the mark of maturity because it was more blessed to give than it was to receive. The next point is our covenant, because I'm in covenant with God. And you know what? I'm in covenant with you in this house. I'm in covenant with God, and I'm in covenant with every one of you. The Bible says in Malachi 3 that when we don't give to God, we not only affect us. The Bible says we affect the whole nation of Israel. When I don't give, I affect everyone in this house. We are hindered when we're not together. We're in covenant with one another. When my wife and I were called to do this work, I want to tell you something. We didn't do it part-time. We were all in, and I mean all in. When it was time to buy this building, we didn't have nothing. How many of you know the bank does not loan you money because you got good looks? And I mean, if that was the case, we would have got 10, 20 million off of me. Some of you are just getting that. You're slow, but you're a little worth waiting on. My wife and I went in there and they said, Mr. McDonald, are you going to sign for this? We had to come to a moment right then and there. Something that we don't own, that we don't control. But are we in covenant with what God wants to do? Absolutely. We don't own a thing. My family and I don't own a thing here. But we're responsible for it. Because we're in, my wife loves it when I bring that up too. She says, oh dear Jesus. We're in covenant together. And I don't say that for, I'm not worried a bit. I'm in covenant with God. Let me tell you something. The Lord has blessed us. He has honored us. He has blessed us in a powerful way. Because the next reason, the why that I give, is because of the vision. I believe what I am doing is making a difference. And if you don't have a vision of your stewardship and giving, then maybe you should consider going or doing something that will. Because when you get a vision for giving, my brothers and my sisters, your life will turn around in that in itself. And when you do, then you receive the blessing. And we don't just give. We give because we love Jesus. But I want you to know today, there is a blessing that remains for you when you give. In Malachi again, it says in chapter 3, he'll pour out upon your life in a great way. He'll open up the Hebrew word, the window is aruba of heaven over your life, and pour you out a blessing. The Bible said you won't even know what to do with it all. Deuteronomy 15:10 says, give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything that you put your hand to. I like that. I like that. I like to win. I like to be blessed in the things that I do. I like to know the hand of the Lord is behind me. You know, when my father-in-law died, I was the executor of his will. And we had to take care of the financial stuff. When I went through his checkbook, every other check that he wrote, the city church, the city church, the city church. What an example that he left for me. What an example that he sowed into my life. And that's what I want to do in the lives of those that know me. Someday when I take my final breath, I want my boys to look at my checkbook, look at my bank statements and say, wow, man, Dad sure gave a lot. And you know what? We do. We love to give. We live to give because I want to set an example of blessing. And I tell people all the time, if you hang around me, you're going to get blessed. Because I live to give. I love to give. I love to be a blessing to people. Another one of the whys is the devotion of it. Did you know that someday you'll stand before the Lord and when you see Jesus, I want you to know, did you do with what he gave you that he called you to do with it? Did you take what he entrusted you with and go bury it because you were afraid of him? Or did you give it? Did you sow it? So the work and the progress and the progression of the kingdom of God could come alive in your life. When I see him, there's going to be a lot of things that I did wrong. But one thing he's going to be able to look and say to me, good and faithful steward of what I've entrusted you with. 2 Corinthians 9, Paul says, remember this, who sows sparingly, he gets sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you decide, not at the last minute. You get together, you make a decision on it. You make a decision in your heart what to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves it when you're happy when you give. And if you're not giving, if you're giving and not happy about it, don't give a nickel, because that will not be honored by God. Be happy about giving. Get together on your giving. Families, don't wait until you come to church and when the offering is taken and you're wondering, oh, I forgot. Make a plan ahead of time to give to the work of the Lord. Husbands and wives, get together. Make a plan way ahead of time to come in agreement. What are we going to give to God? And I said this in the first service. Don't pay any attention. They're not running because I'm talking about money. They're running to go make you pancakes. I said this in the first service. In families, husbands and wives, you should come together on your finances. When we were young, my wife used to take care of it all. I'd spend the money and ask her why she didn't have enough to pay the bill. My God, how many pancakes you guys making? Husbands and wives, you should get together on your giving. I'm going to throw one more thing in there. Husbands and wives should not have separate accounts. If the two come together and are joined as one, why do you think you can have separate on your money and have money that one doesn't know about? There's a lack in your relationship, and God wants you to come together on that. Some of the greatest times that my wife and I have, we talk about the vision. We talk about what we're going to give. We talk about what we're going to participate in. We're not separate on it. Now we're together. And maybe you're better than the other spouse about taking care of money. There's nothing wrong with that. But the two of you should always get together on it, and you should know where you're going and what you got. Amen. Amen me if you want to or not. It's the truth and you know it. Praise the Lord. And he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest and your righteousness. You'll be rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I'm going to close on three things. Number one, make sure you are intentional, not emotional in your giving, but intentional. Mark 12, 41, Jesus, the Bible says, sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put in, and he watched the crowd. Now, can you imagine that? They're taking up the offering. They're bringing the offering. Nobody's bringing a bucket to them. They bring the offering. And Jesus is sitting right there. He's looking, oh, I see how much Brad gave today. I see how much Marcus gave today. Yep, I see. Then he comes over and he sees somebody that doesn't have nothing. The Bible says that he saw a widow put in two little coins, two copper coins that were worth only a few cents. And he called all his disciples for a teaching moment. He said, I want to tell you guys something. This poor widow, she's put in more than all the others. The wealthy were coming. They were putting in big checks, winking at Jesus, putting in a 500, a 1,000, 2,500. It was just a little scratch of what they could have given. But Jesus says that the woman that gave out of her poverty gave more than anyone. All she had to live on, she gave. Make your giving intentional. Second, make it percentage. It needs to be in relationship to what you make. When my wife and I first got married, I made $100 a week. We made a plan. We were going to give tithe and offering. I gave $10. It was the hardest $10 I ever had to start to give in my life. I made $100 per week. Praise God. I gave $10 off, tithe and a dollar offering, because a tithe is what you owe and an offering, a seed, is what you sow. 1 Corinthians 3, if any man builds his foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, hay, wood, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring light to it. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he'll get a reward. But if you're just giving just because you think you have to, and you're not all in on it, you're giving for the wrong reason. Check out that inventory. And lastly, we give with an eternal mind, because our giving is based upon eternity, the eternity of humanity. When we give with that in mind, we succeed. See, today when I go over and we eat those pancakes will be good, the fellowship will be good, but I know something is going to be much better, because some of those kids that are going on that trip, you got to think long view. A seed is going to be sown into their lives. Their lives are going to be changed. Some will become pastors, missionaries, evangelists, teachers, something to work of the Lord. And I believe, so when I give, I know God has something great planned for my life and for your life. Come on, do you receive that today in Jesus' name? Come on, do you receive that today? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Prayer folk, come down one more time as we leave today. If you need prayer for anything in your life, Lord wants to help you and bless you and lift you up and encourage you. There's a need. If there's something that you're dealing with and you just need somebody to stand with you, we want to do that this morning in your life and help you. Benjamin, come on down here, would you, honey, and close in prayer for me. If your head's bowed and your eyes closed. Thank you, Lord God.
Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this day. I pray that you'll continue to bless us and keep us in your perfect will. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to bless every person that's here in their workplace and in their families and in their homes and what they put their mind to. Lord, give them a better vision. Give them the eyes of you, Lord, and the things that you have for them. Lord, I thank you for the word that you gave us today, and I thank you for families today. In your name we pray, and we thank you for the pancakes that are next door and ahead of time. In your name we pray, amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right, God bless you.